We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday, 3:06. Boys are here, Hancock and Kelly in the house. Good to see you.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hey, it was good to see you. And before we get started, we did this at 9 o'clock, so John's had to hear this already. But
I got to hear this.
Oh, you got to hear that.
I was fortunate to hear it.
But you were kind enough to invite me over to the DGS Live last night, and I didn't know what to expect. And for those of you who are DGS fans, I'm not going to ruin it and explain exactly what Dave does. But
all these people were there last night.
Right. Well, I don't know. There's far more fans out there than that. But for those of you who haven't done it, I really encourage you to get tickets and go the next time he does it. It's Dave Glover like you've never seen before. It's the same Dave Glover humor, but I would call it on steroids. And it was just a really, you've got a real talent when it comes to stand-up comedy. I really enjoyed the music that you and Jimmy, what's Jimmy's last
Griffin.
Name? Jimmy Griffin, did the four Beatles songs were beautiful. And then of course the whole panel and, getting to see you all answer questions. But, that was really special, Dave. You have a unique talent. And for those of you who did not get a ticket or who have thought about going to do it, go. It was
really
fabulous.
Kind.
It was fabulous.
I can tell you, there were like probably five people there who I was really wanted them to like it. You know what I mean? Like, Trish had never seen it. You'd never seen it. Like, there are a few people that I wasn't looking out in the audience, but, and I don't look out in the audience because I don't want to see someone not looking good. You know what
right.
I mean?
Somebody looking on their phone.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, so I just pretend.
I am so
there.
Grateful that no one shared with me what the show was like ahead of time. Because not only was it was great, but it blew me away because it was not what I expected.
It truly wasn't what Michael Calhoun was expecting either, evidently.
Or Maria Kina or any of the group. But, I mean, it was not what I expected, and it was fabulous. I wish you did it again next
month.
Well,
you've done this show for 23 years. You know, obviously you're immensely talented. I mean, you can't pull off a show like this that, you know, has such a passionate following and not have a tremendous amount of talent. And I'm glad you had the opportunity to showcase it last night because, you know, the stuff you did last night apparently is not stuff you could do on the radio.
Oh, no apparently about it.
but, you know, I mean.
Fields, are you a little shocked?
No. Okay. No, your descriptions in advance were on the money. Yeah.
Do you have any desire to do more of that?
Yeah. I like it. It makes me happy. I'll tell you, though.
You're clearly gifted.
I enjoyed singing more than I enjoyed the comedy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, no, I just
But you
love
keep
it.
Your eyes closed while you sing. I noticed every song when you were singing, you had your eyes closed.
I'm shy.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, you were excellent. It sounded beautiful. And, of course, the guitar work was spectacular. I got to tell you, from a personal standpoint, I know Nick. Nick and I work together. He's a good dude. But I really love the relationship that you and Nick have because it reminds me of the relationship that I had with my father. He was my best friend. And to see, you know, it's a unique thing. Not many father sons get to have that experience. And I sent Nick a text message last night that just said, live it up, dude, because there's nothing more special than having a dad that you can be friends with. And that you truly love.
It was so sweet. You know, I know what I'm going to do. Stand up, and I know the songs I'm going to sing. But other than that, you don't know what's going to happen. You know what people. You don't know what people are going to ask. You don't know what you guys are going to say. And so at one point, we went to the audience, and someone said, "What's the best and worst thing about your dad?" And Nick said, well, here's the best thing. And he just said the sweetest thing. And
like three or four minutes straight.
Yeah. And then he goes, well, on the bad side. And I made a joke like, okay, that's all we have time for. And I wish I would have taken it more seriously because it impacted me so much. And I wish I would have said to the 350 people there, you have just witnessed one of the top three moments of my life.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it was just, it was surreal. It was just so great.
It was special. That was a special night. I enjoyed it. And sign up for it next year, folks. You have no idea what you're going through. It's awesome.
Adult children are something that you never, when you're young, you get married, you never think about having adult children.
Yeah.
You think about raising your kids and getting through it and being done.
Mm-hmm.
But having adult children that turn out successful, I mean, that's one of the most amazing feelings in the world, you know?
I was watching a TikTok, and I don't know who the guy was, some white guy who was a billionaire, and you could smell it, you know, just you could smell he was a billionaire, and he was being interviewed as one of the New York guys, and they're like, what's the most important thing in the world? And he laughs at the interviewer, and he goes, that's so easy, having your adult children actually want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
He's like, take away all my money.
Right.
Take away all of my accomplishments. I don't care. I don't need them.
Yeah.
If you are the richest guy in the world and your adult kids don't want to spend time with you, you have nothing. And I've always known that, but hearing someone say that, I was like, that is so
and
absolutely
it's so true.
True.
And it's not common. You know,
I agree.
I think more often than not.
I want to bring this up this week. There's a big thing. It's probably like Nick and me, you know, like my generation, maybe 10 years older than me, and Nick's generation, 10 years older than him. But there's a big thing, it's almost like quiet quitting, you know, now we're putting names to things, of kids sort of breaking up with their parents, saying that, look, I know in the past everyone said, even if your parents weren't that great, you got to be there for them, you got to help take care of them, you can't just cut off your parents. But in increasing numbers, the new generation who are reaching adulthood and getting married and having kids are saying, you know what, mom and dad, I don't like the way you parented me and I'm done. I'm just, don't contact me anymore. It's really something.
And sad.
Sad,
yeah.
On both ends of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because clearly something, if a kid is that messed up, clearly something pushed them in that way. But also, you didn't get over it either.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like on both sides of that, you'd like to see that be better. Something bad is in there.
It must have been, especially from a kid perspective, because, you know, at the end of the day, you also have in the back of your mind that our time here is finite. And if things go according to plan, your parents go before you do.
Right.
And so it must be brutal. Hey, was this the first time you did this show as a KMOX?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So that was what was even more, you know, when you come out and the big KMOX logo is behind you and all the
no, tell me about it.
The KMOX suits
I was worried.
Are sitting in the room.
Yeah. I got to tell you something. This was really cute. I don't even know if you guys were in there for it. Steve Moore, our boss,
right.
Who we all agree is super cool.
Yep.
Totally.
He's
yep.
one of us.
Good
yep.
dude.
We just hired a new sales manager named Patty, moved in from out of town. And I met her for the first time last night. He brought her to the friggin' show.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, so how's Patty? And he goes, I'm going to be honest with you. He goes, when you launched into your stand-up, he said, I was watching Patty, and I was fully prepared to throw you under the bus. It's like if she was like, I can't watch this, I'm going to remove myself. I'd have been like, he's fired tomorrow. I can't even do this. This is so inappropriate. But he said she was like bent over laughing. So then he was like, oh, he's my guy. He's my guy.
I did that.
What's that?
I think it's a bad joke. I failed. It was Steve saying, I did that, brought you in. I'll just shut up.
It happens.
Don't
Wheels.
Shut up. We all just bad. Okay.
It was me. I whiffed.
Can we talk about Trish for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's a Trish story. Trish did me wrong a couple of times last night.
What a shock.
Yeah, right. So Trish is, you know, like people are excited and they were there and they wanted to talk. And so Trish would be talking to people and then she'd go, oh my gosh, you got to meet Mike Kelly. And she'd introduce me to somebody and then run away. And I'm like, I don't even know who I'm talking to. I'm like talking about the DGS and Close and a bunch of Tony and all these people that I'm like, I know I've heard of them. I don't know anything about them.
That's so Trish.
Twice. Awesome. Same thing with the sales lady, the new sales lady.
Yeah.
I was like, she's like, now tell me a little bit about yourself. I was like, I'm the least important person at KMOX that you need to be talking to. oh, here's Michael Calhoun. You need to meet him.
He's thrown on somebody else. Are you guys like that? Will you throw someone under the bus, and will you save someone? If you see someone being ear-you-know-whatted, will you go up and say, like, hey, we really need you over here?
I was pulling out my phone to call Andrew for a moment there last night. We've had a yes, that's part of the my code is if someone's being, you know.
Yeah, and that happens a lot in politics.
I'll bail him out one way or the other. We had a guy like that in the press box. I'm not going to name names because
sure,
he's no longer with us, so there's not going to do that. But where he would corner people, especially new people, and you'd have to get through it once. And if you got through it once, then after that, people would bail you out. So with me, you know, everybody's. I'm looking over, like I'm getting this whole thing, and everybody's laughing as going down the road. I'm like, this must be a thing. And then later on, it was explained, and then you'd go through it. And I tried to save our buddy Brian Feldman once, right? So I called him because he was cornered,
yeah.
And he goes, Wheeler, why are you calling me? I'm three seats down. I'm like, and I'm like, well, you're stuck, buddy. Enjoy the evening.
You deserve what happened to you.
John, you brought that up. I've always marveled, like, doing what we do for a living. I've had many circumstances, like last night, even bigger crowds where you have to work the crowd. You shake 1,000 hands. Yeah. You have 1,000 little conversations. I love it. I truly, truly do.
I love it. Me too.
But it's exhausting.
Yep.
I don't understand how these politicians, some of them like in their 70s, pushing 80, can do this.
Well, it's a personality, you know. You draw energy from other people, you know. Some personality types, I'm like that. I get energy from other people, and so I love interacting with other people. But you've always got the one person that will monopolize. And so I've been on the lookout, you know, for years because I've worked for a lot of candidates. And so you're always kind of looking out for them at events and spotting when they've gotten cornered, and you can tell, mm-hmm. you know. And so you just kind of go up, hey, Governor, I need
you. Got to take you here.
You know? And so, yeah, that's a thing. And they really appreciate it. The candidates do.
So occasionally somebody will come up and say, like the post office person did it to you, John and I, the other day, said, hey, can we get a picture with you? But I'm just always amazed.
I told him my picture's already at the post office.
Yeah. I'm always amazed with the whole photo thing. I watched, you know, hundreds of people line up to take photos with you guys. Isn't it kind of awkward? Like, here comes these people. We're going to take a photo. Now they're going to walk away. Here are these, because these next people want to get their photo. I don't know. That's just, I mean, I know it's sweet, but it's also like, wow, people want photos
of you. It is weird,
right?
To think that they do. But I mean, if I, like, I have podcasts that I'm super into, and if I were able to meet these people, I would want a photo too. So, like, right. I totally get it. We had several people last night say, like, this is kind of awkward because I feel like I know everything about you and you don't know me. I'm like, you're fine. I totally get it.
Yeah.
It's not really an awkward process, though, because you get to have a little mini conversation and get to know somebody for a second before the photo's taken. So,
you're right about that, John. You can connect in 3 seconds.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't need 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
And I've been on the other end of it. Like when I went to see Rush, Nick and I got to meet Geddy Lee.
Ooh.
And
Alex
Lifeson, because mm-hmm. Neil Peart doesn't do them.
Right.
And we spent 60 seconds with them. And those guys made us both feel super special.
That's cool.
In 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And they didn't know who I was. They didn't care. But I took away from that, like, oh, it does matter. You can be affected by someone in 60 seconds when they're genuine. Now, you can't have a good enough line because your BS meter is going to go off.
Right.
But, like, I'm a drummer, Nick's a drummer, and we made a comment, and they were just, they seemed genuinely interested.
That's cool.
For 60 seconds.
Yep.
It also helps because our listeners, especially the ones last night, were just so sweet. So it's, like, just fun to have a conversation with such nice people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you got great listeners, and boy, they're passionate and loyal. And, you know, Rachel, I saw you in a whole new light last night. That's all I can tell you. I saw you in a whole new light last night. I'm always like, that's sweet Rachel up there who just
dropping bombs.
Yeah. Hey, I was asked to.
I'm not sure how you accomplished this reputation.
Right.
Because I'm quiet.
Yeah.
Some guy last night during Q&A is like, I can't believe Rachel never say a bad word. Can we hear it? And I'm like, Rachel Zimmerman? Never say a bad word, what? Yeah, you pulled it off somehow. 3:23, DGS. Happy Friday to you. Hancock and Kelly are here. Let's talk about what's going on in Memphis. Mm. I don't even know what to say about it. all week I've been saying, like, everything seems so simple to me. And I don't mean that to be offensive in any way. But in situations like this, we public hasn't seen this tape of evidently this beating. Everyone involved is saying it. I haven't heard a single person, family member or official say, oh, it's not that bad, or right. he had it coming or anything like that. But it's just quite simple to me that regardless of the race of the victim, regardless of the race of the police officers, I said this about an hour ago, that police officers should be better than us. We should pay them four times what we do, but they have a badge and a gun, and they have the power to take away your liberty, at least for, you know, some mm-hmm. period of time, and they should be held to a higher standard. Just because they're enraged that you ran from them, you don't get to, you know, mete out your revenge. So they should go to prison, maybe for the rest of their life. Simple, boom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's obviously not that simple. There are just long rooted wounds. And well, you know what's going to happen. I mean, we know that there's going to be some level, whether it reaches a George Floyd or not. But this weekend, that's the news. It's going to be big protests.
Well, that's the big concern. It's interesting. They've chosen to announce that they're going to release this video. It's 6 p.m. St. Louis time. Is that right? Five yeah. or six? 6 p.m. St. Louis time. Well, what happens in the Midwest at 6 p.m.? It's dark out. We all lived through the Stockley riots and the Ferguson riots. I mean, I'm surprised they're choosing to do it later in the day. Now, John makes a really good case that in many of the other police disturbances we have, they seem to have done not this particular act, but after it was discovered, everything right.
Yeah. You know, in most of the cases, the people that are protesting because nothing has been done. For the officers and whatever the incident X was at that point. Well, that's not the case here. They've been fired. They've been charged. They've been charged with crimes that will put them in jail for 50 or 60 years. The videotape, the cameras have been released or will have been released. The family was met with and consulted. And, you know, I mean, whatever those five cops did, horrific things that these five cops did, The police department and the city have responded as appropriately as you possibly could in a situation like this. And, you know, the other thought I've got, Dave, is clearly these cops deserve everything they're going to get. I mean, I haven't seen the tape, but likely they deserve everything they're going to get. But what we do have to remember is we ask an awful lot of these police officers, and the things that they see on a nightly basis, the death, the carnage, the crimes, they're dealing with that. And there's got to be a certain sense that there must be some level of PTSD that they have dealt with working these streets like that. And they took it out on this guy, and they're going to pay for it. But these officers are asked to deal with a lot.
Well, we haven't seen the video yet, John, and, right. and I appreciate the larger comment that you're making, that, and I do think police officers see the worst of humanity.
Yep.
But there were five of them there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see one person, not excuse, they should be held accountable, losing their temper. But five people flipping out to the point where, I mean, the FBI director was just on KMOX News saying that he's never seen a video like this before.
And that's what the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations
did. Right. The police chief in Memphis mm-hmm. said that.
So I'm with you. I'm a big defender of the police. I'm a big supporter of our police. I think they deserve all the pay that we give them, all the training that's necessary. But I'm sorry that there's five of you there. And you beat the humanity out of yeah. this man to the point that you can't blame it on PTSD. But I appreciate the larger point. I think our police officers deal with the worst of humanity.
I also want to point out that I'm painfully aware that a bunch of white people are having a conversation that right. may involve race. I would love to have an African-American person here or someone call.
Mm-hmm.
Not that every African-American person understands, you know, everything about race. But my question would be, I don't understand racism black on black. Does it exist? If so, what are the parameters of it? Do you think that that could be involved here? Could black officers have some beef with this guy because he's black? I'm curious about that, and I clearly have no answers. If you have any thoughts on that, 314-436-7900, quick break, DGS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
For DGS, happy Friday to you. Dave Murray joins us with Hancock and Kelly. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Well, this is awfully lovely weather right now. Not bad at
all. It's perfect, isn't it? You know, and tomorrow, really, even a couple of degrees warmer tomorrow. It's going to be windy, but we can tolerate that.
We can just tolerate that.
Hey, was that not the perfect snowstorm? It like blows in, and by 4:30, 5 o'clock, it was gone.
It's gone.
It was for a couple hours, and then boom.
Yep, ground temperatures were above freezing. Air temperatures were actually a touch above freezing, the whole thing. So road crews hit it hard, and we just, as I said, we can handle this. There's no need to panic.
How's it look for the weekend and a little peek into next week?
It's kind of a flip as far as temperature is concerned. Tomorrow's beautiful, 55 degrees. Then a cold front comes through Saturday night. It's not much of a front as far as moisture. Be some rain showers during the evening hours. Could be a little bit of freezing rain mixed in after midnight. It's not a big deal. Shouldn't cause any problems. Then Sunday, the northwest flow is back. Lots of clouds. It's cold. It's windy. 35 degrees for the high temperature on Sunday. Wind will make it feel colder, down to 22 Sunday night. And Monday, a high temperature Monday of only 29 degrees, below average temperatures day and night all of next week.
Beautiful. Okay, I have two political questions. One's pretty serious and not like, you know, it's real politics. The other's kind of goofy and fun. Which one do you want?
Whatever. It's your
goofy
show.
And fun.
Okay. let's do that. It's Friday. So, as most of you know, I'm pretty thick with the FBI here locally and big fan of the FBI. Maybe I'm a little starstruck being in with them and they can do no wrong kind of thing. But I'm very impressed with them. I believe what like Jay says, the special agent in charge. And I will ask him this and he won't answer because he can't. But here's my question. Do you guys believe, and Hancock and Kelly probably have some idea about this, that there are like this shadowy, like someone said DNI today, NSA, DNI, and all these alphabets, right? Do you think that there are truly agencies, Jason Bourne kind of things, that the FBI doesn't even know exists?
No.
You think that's Hollywood?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I would be shocked. Now, I think there are divisions.
So that shoots the shadow government thing all to hell.
Yeah, yeah. I think there are divisions within the FBI and the NSA that exist that we don't know exist. I absolutely believe that. Did you see what the FBI released yesterday?
No.
So there's this ransom company. They go out and hack into your software and they charge you money to get your code back. So the FBI hacked into them.
Hmm.
And they started then, people would get hacked and they were being held for ransom and they would contact the FBI and the FBI would go into that system and get the key and the company would get out for free. And the hackers didn't know they had been hacked. And I guess they made the arrest announcement yesterday. Yep. That was pretty cool.
That's very cool.
I love that. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. I don't believe domestically there would be those types of shadow groups, but I mean, there seems to be a lot of movies and novels and stuff written about stuff internationally as it relates to spies, et cetera. So maybe there, but I don't believe domestically there's like some shadow operation that's, you know, pulling the strings or any of that.
Go ahead, Wills.
I wouldn't say there's anything, any group of people like a bunch of Jason Bournes that have been, you know, kind of created through torture. But there's got to be a lot of stuff that's compartmentalized that we don't know about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
And that the guy that anybody that would run a particular field office, everything that I'm thinking of would be need-to-know basis.
Right.
So I guess on the more simple version of it, yeah, I bet there is stuff that high-ranking people in various agencies wouldn't know about because they don't need to know about it.
We have a phone call. I'm being a bad host. I was looking at these guys, not looking at my phone screen. I'd asked if there are any African-Americans who might enlighten me on black-on-black racism. Is that a thing? Could that possibly be involved with what happened in Memphis? On line one, we have Wavy. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I don't believe that it's racism. I don't think that it can be racism when it's a black versus a black. But I do believe that there is an inherent bias. And I say that meaning that we won't talk about it, we won't admit it, but we know that there's a chance that if our lives are going to be taken, it's going to be taken at the hands of another black person. I think it's like a 90-something percent chance. And so we have that internal fear that that's going to be the case. So even though we won't admit it, we know that it's there. And I think that causes us sometimes to react or behave against another black person differently. Like if I was at the ATM machine and a white guy walked up to me, I don't have an inherent fear of that guy. But even as a black person, if a black person walked up behind me at the ATM machine at night, my guard is up, if that makes sense.
It does. I know that you don't know the answer to this, but I'm just curious if you have any sort of a gut on it. If these black police officers were beating this guy partially because he was black, what would have or could have been the motivation for that?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. I'm a firm supporter of the police, but at the same time, I also am not going to defend bad behavior when it exists. So I haven't quite seen the video. I can anticipate what it's like based off of what the chief said and what the FBI agents have said.
Yeah.
So I really don't know. I think it's just a situation of, you know, they got caught up in the moment. You know, like you said, if this guy hadn't run or resisted or anything, we probably wouldn't know who he is or anything about him.
Yeah.
But the fact that he did, then there becomes this whole thing of people getting caught up in the moment type situation. Like I said, I'm not going to ever defend bad behavior, but I really can't tell you what would cause five black officers to beat up another, you know, black man to the point where he dies. I just really can't explain that.
Yeah, the running thing. I mean, thank God I've never been in that position. I hope I never am or any of my kids. But it typically involves either someone resisting, and not always violently, just not doing what the cops are saying at that moment, or running. Running seems to be, like I've always said, you run, they're going to bring an ass whipping with them. And you hate to see it. It's like, don't run. But then again, you're not walking in that guy's shoes at that moment. You don't know what
That's
he's
true.
Experiencing.
And I teach my kids, listen, don't ever, ever run. Just deal with it. You have got to do what they tell you to do because I need you to come home to me at night. We can fight it later in court. We can do whatever we have to do, but do not run. Do not be non-compliant.
Yeah.
Do whatever they say in order for you to make sure that you come home to me at night and we'll deal with it from there.
Yeah, I do the same way. I would never pretend to have the same issues that you do, personally or with my kids, but I've done the same thing. Don't mouth off. Don't sass. Even if the guy's being a complete a-hole.
And it happens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. On line two, our buddy Amir said that he does know something about these special forces. Amir is a former Marine, served our country heroically, and he joins us now. What's up, Gunny?
Hey, brother. Well, I don't know about heroically, but, you know, I served, all right. Got bad back and bad knees for it. But, hey, just wanted to tell you guys, you know, thankfully, we do have Jason Bourne type units. But they're not like Hollywood depicted. These, you know, chiseled guys and girls, you know, that are just specimen of human superiority. Actually, a lot of them are foreign born. A lot of them, you would never guess that they are even in the military. But they are so smart and so well trained that they can overthrow foreign government. And sometimes, you know, when we need to do that, I think we do it. However, they don't operate in that type of secrecy that nobody knows about. I mean, there are congressional oversights. You know, presidents are briefed on it. Now, on the domestic side, shadowy groups and all that stuff, you know, there may be task forces that are put together and then disbanded once that task is accomplished. But the way I understand it, we are explicitly by law prohibited from conducting operations against U.S. citizens unless it's like some type of a police action.
Mayor, I want to ask you something. And I keep asking questions of people that are unfair. I know that you have limited knowledge, even with your vast experience. But is there anyone out there, any kid on the block that you would fear us fighting?
After Russia showed what their true capabilities are, I can only be afraid of China simply because of their sheer numbers and their industrial production base. That's about the only country that I'm afraid of. However, the way we are countering China's rise is through our alliances, not just with NATO, but also with our alliance with Japan and Australia and throughout the Pacific. Hopefully, we'll make friends with India again, even though India has not forgiven us for our support to Pakistan back in 1970. But I sleep well at night knowing that we still are that we're still able to maintain Pax Americana that we have maintained in the past century.
Very good. Thanks, Mayor. Appreciate it. All right, boys. Anything else before you take off?
No.
It's all good. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you for the kind note, Mike. It meant a lot. 349 DGS. Man, the show has flown by.
Mm-hmm.
Wheels, I was really intrigued by the thing on the Google Doc about should we ask more questions about the ethics behind true crime shows?
Yeah, I was just reading about this yesterday. I mean, I love true crime shows. I mean, you guys do. We were talking about that the Murdaugh case, and that's partly where I saw some of that, is kind of on one of those types of shows. And essentially, it's just a broad question. Should we be asking more moral questions about whether it's okay to look at this stuff as entertainment? And I don't know where you guys come down on it. To me, I don't think it's a moral thing when you're trying to learn more about something and being fascinated by something or intrigued by an element of human behavior that thankfully the vast majority of us never experience. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's kind of an inherent, like, human curiosity to know things that you don't experience in your own life. I do think maybe there's some question with how we interact with the rest of the world about that. Like, when you get on social media, you're like, ooh, I can't wait for tonight. Like, there may be something a little weird about that, but I don't know that there's anything strange or immoral about human beings having a curiosity about things like that.
Here's exactly how I feel about it. About with the same frequency. I'm a meat eater. I love steak. I love being my Capital Grill. But maybe once, twice a year, I'll be cutting into a ribeye and go, I'm a ribeye too. This is weird. I'm eating meat off of a bone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then the next time, I don't care at all.
Right.
Same way, I can watch Forensic Files every night for a month, and then on the 31st, I go, you're a ghoul. What's wrong with you? You're watching blood splatter. That's someone's real blood. But go watch something else.
I'm pretty much aligned with Wheels. I think that there's nothing inherently wrong with it, but the way we react to it can be wrong. And a lot of people will talk about listening to a true crime podcast or something, and it's like, and she was stuffed into the trunk of the car. And now we're going to take a break and talk about HelloFresh.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of odd. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I have a colossal moral issue with, like, there's a podcast. I don't think it's all that popular anymore, but it was, like, sort of the first wave of true crime. My Favorite Murder is the name of it. And the two hosts are just, like, ooey gooey. This one's so spoopy. And, you know, it's literally called My Favorite Murder.
What?
And it's, well, they just, like, laugh and make jokes the whole time. And they're like, wow, that's so crazy and spooky. And it's like, come on. Like, someone's dead.
Yeah.
Someone's literally dead. That's someone's sister, brother, a daughter, son, father. Like, that's a real person. And you're just, like, fully turning it into
amazing,
stupid
though,
entertainment.
What time does.
You
can joke about the Lincoln assassination.
Yes.
You couldn't do that right after. My dad passed away in 2002. If you dug him up, you would be arrested. 100, 200 years now, you dug him up, you're an archaeologist. I mean, it's just crazy how time changes everything.
Yes. And it's an important thing, too, because the reason why it changes is because the human beings that were on the negative side of the impact, they're gone. Right. So there's no immediate, like, you see some of these things now. And, you know, that's part of where this came from, by the way, where some of the family members involved in some of the school shootings or in, you know, involved with their sister, their daughter, their mother were the ones murdered in these cases, and that still impacts them. And that's, I think it's a fair concern. I just think it comes down to how you treat it.
Right.
Right. I mean, a lot of the shows, if they're overly dramatic, I guess one of the complaints, and I didn't watch the show, so I don't know, but one of the shows they were complaining about in the article I read was about the Dahmer show. And
a lot of backlash.
Right. Because they made it seem like, you know, like Dahmer was cool. And I don't know that anybody actually watches those shows and says, wow, that murderer, he's a cool guy. But I do get what they mean about making it seem kind of more exciting than it really is. And I mean, look, it's just brutal, gruesome. These are things that are terrible things that nobody would ever recover from if you see them or if you're somehow impacted by them. Yeah. But when you're talking about even movies, recreations of things, it is about the how and not the what, right? Like, how do we treat it, not what kind of story are we discussing or talking about? Because we need to learn these things. Human beings need to learn about these behaviors and understand it so that you can have a better idea of how to prevent things in the future, yeah, or, you know, how to track criminals and all of that. So, you know, I think it's a valid question to ask. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking this question, but I don't know there's a pat answer either. It really just depends on the how, right?
Like with most other things, there's nuance to it and how you treat it. I've heard experts say that a lot of women really like true crime podcasts as a way to kind of cope with the fact that something bad could happen to them someday. Like, it's kind of like immersion therapy. Like, if I get really into this podcast and I kind of expose myself to this sort of thing, it helps alleviate my fears about that happening to myself. I always thought that was really interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not causing anything more to happen. You know, I mean, like, the people that do these things are obviously, they're insane. I mean, like, there's no other way to look at it. I don't think you're making people into murderers by doing these things, but I do think respect has to play in.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.